What's up, friend? It's been a hot ass minute. I'm super excited to be one in the car again, recording a podcast episode for you guys. I've had a couple of people message me and they're like, it's been a minute since your last podcast episode. Like, what's the deal? Are you still doing it? Yes, my intent is to always have the podcast. Like, I had all of these dreams and visions of having two episodes up and having all of these interviews lined up, which I still do. And then shelter in place happened along with distance learning and just building a business from home and then starting to create merchandise. And then, oh, girlfriend, it has been crazy, but right now, in true Camilla bad mom craziness fashion, right now I'm in the car post Target pickup, pulled over, and you're gonna hear a lot of road rage right now. There's road rage happening behind me in a little shaded spot, recording this podcast episode for you because I already knew the topic that I wanted to talk about for today. But before that, I wanted to talk to you guys about what this quarantine has brought out in my family and I, what we've been up to, the Black Lives Matter movement. I'm going to touch briefly on that because I want to dedicate a whole episode to that. And then we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of the topic that I get asked on multiple occasions. I get somebody in my DMs who is asking me for advice because of what they're seeing in their children. And I wanted to talk to you guys about our journey of Nolan with ADHD and what the diagnosis looked like for us, what signs told us to get him tested and diagnosed, and just kind of what that looked like for us. So the first thing is hashtag quarantine made me do it. What have we been up to during this shelter in place? A lot, actually. So school ended last week. We are so elated that school is over. Towards the end, we were kind of just like, YOLO, it is what it is. We can't be disappointed in our children when they were literally plucked out of their whole school environment. Nolan, in particular, had a very hard time keeping up with assignments. This was his very first year of middle school, you know, and it was just really difficult for all of us to kind of adjust. In the beginning of sixth grade, you know, he had a hard time getting to classes on time, just like being really nervous around the older kids, and it just being super brand new. He went from being the big man on campus to being the little fish in a big pond, and then he got plucked out of school 3 months before it ended, and his grades were great, and then he got plucked out of school. So it was just a really hard time for all of us trying to figure out where his teachers are posting their assignments, how they're communicating, because if there is one thing that I'm going to groan about, it's that they could not get it together and like make it streamlined for all kids. And it was very difficult. It was very stressful. But we got through it. I'm so happy that we all got through it. So school is over. Cameron has been the biggest couch potato. Like, I already knew homegirl isn't too big on activities. I already knew that homegirl was a little bit on like the couch potato lazy side, but this just has like magnified it. She'll sleep until forever, until you wake her up. Like, JoJo has a habit now of going in there and be like, Cammy, wake up, and he'll like wake her up, and she's just so groggy in the morning. But it's so funny because she has been super into Fuller House. All we do is stream now. Another thing that we did is we got rid of cable. There are no sports, so why am I paying for a sports package? And so we stream everything. We have Netflix, we have Hulu, we have ESPN Plus, we have Disney Plus. She has lived off of Fuller House every single episode. And the weird thing is that like she'll go out of order and then she'll go and watch the old episodes from like the late 80s, early 90s. And then she gets her context backwards. Like, so it's so bizarre, but it's also really funny because Kimmy Gibbler is her absolute favorite character. And frankly, I can't stand to hear Stephanie Tanner singing anymore. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, you're so annoying. But it's funny because it's like all of this nostalgia is happening in our house. And both of the big kids are like super into Pokemon. Like super, they could talk about it. I actually recorded myself. I was working at my desk and creating some merchandise. And I was like, you know what? Tell me a little about this Pokemon thing. And they went on and on and on and actually recorded it. But it was so boring and made my ears bleed. I deleted it because I'm like, I'm never going to come back to this. And then JoJo, oh, my little, I mean, I can't say angel, my little demon child JoJo. We're in the midst of potty training. So he is just like balls free at home all freaking day. So if I have guests over, you're going to see, JoJo's penis. I am huge on like letting them roam free at home. So this is maybe our third week into potty training and, you know, there's still accidents here or there. We put a diaper on him to sleep. I'm not at the point yet where I can wake him up. Like a lot of people like wake him up in the middle of the night so you get his peeing schedule down. I didn't do that. I honestly let the kids wear pull-ups, and once they woke up dry, that was when I would typically put them in underwear at night. And I know it's a slower process that way, but like, I'm not about to be wake them up out of a dead ass sleep and make them go pee. Not there yet. So yeah, JoJo is 2 years old and already going pee. He knows his cues. Yesterday we were out and about and I had my little guy with me and I put a diaper on him and he would tell me every time like, mommy, I gotta go pee. And I'm like, bud, you have a diaper on, let it flow, man, let it go. And he'd like giggle and then let himself pee. So I think he's getting it. We have had poo-poos in there. Gummy bears was a huge incentive. Now that we're out of gummy bears, we just give up each other dabs. He'd be like, okay, mommy, pound it. I peed, pound it. And he'll come up to me and just like bump fist. It's the cutest thing. So yeah, there's lots of things happening. And if there's also another thing that we've done during quarantine is actually get all of the things that we wanted to get done in the house. I have a couple of dining chairs coming in today. JoJo's car seat has gone into storage. I'm sorry, his high chair. And so I'm just like over having the big freestanding high chair. So, but our dining table only had 4 chairs, but it's a 6 to 8 person dining table. So I actually put the best foot forward and I ordered the chairs. So I have some beautiful dark green velvet chairs coming that I'm going to put at the head of the table. JoJo just got a little booster seat that I just picked up at Target. So I'm so excited to just have like table dinners with the family. Because I think that that's just so important, especially right now, like our kids, like I groan all the time and I'm like, this is such a challenging parent moment for Ryan and I. And it's definitely something we're going to remember forever, like just being grateful to have this time at home with the kids. But at the same time, this is pivotal. Like this has worn on us. It's worn on our marriage. It's worn on just everything. But we also need to remember that it's wearing on our kids. And so, I know I have been having conversations with them, when the murder of George Floyd happened and, you know, the shift happened in the civil rights movement and like the riots and the protest and the peaceful protests, like everything started happening. I was ordering books, and we've had diverse books in our arsenal. And, unfortunately it is because my best friend is a children's book author and she is also a Black PhD and she's purchased them as gifts for us. So I started like just going ham and ordering stuff. And as they were coming in, the kids were like kind of confused. They're like, why are you ordering these? Like, I know about Black History Month. And I'm like, yeah, we're not just going to have 1 month for Black History though. I think that this needs to be spoken about. I know that like we've been at the table and having lunch and I'll ask them like, do you know why, you know, you're hearing about riots and why people are so upset? And, you know, Cameron, all of a sudden I was telling her about it and I told them about George Floyd and how he was murdered on the streets, and people recorded it, and how a lot of things are getting caught on camera that have always been happening behind the scenes, and the injustices our Black communities are facing. Like, I could tell that it was wearing on them too. But I thought it was just so important to share that with them and share how we can make a change and how we can stop racism in its tracks when we hear it, and how we can, you know, correct people and go about our way. It's just been weighing so heavily on my heart, and the Black Lives Matter movement, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, you know, like, I was just telling them, you know, that our Black friends have a much different experience in America than we do, and that we need to stand up for them so that they are treated equally, or they're seen as equals to everyone else. And so the work's not done, guys. Like, nothing is going to go back to normal. I don't want to talk about this just like too much right now, because I want to dedicate a whole conversation around it with my best friend as soon as we can get together and get our schedules together, because between the 5 kids from the both of us, yeah, it's hard. But Black Lives Matter. And for those of you who are All Lives Matter, you're missing the point. You're missing the whole point. When a mother or a parent is grieving their child because they lost them to brain cancer, you don't say all cancer matters. I lost my mom to breast cancer. Well, right now we're mourning the loss of a child, and we're not saying that your mother doesn't matter, right? Or who you've lost to other types of cancer does not matter. This is what matters right now, because there are senseless and brutal killings and beatings of Black men and women all over the world at the hands of our law enforcement. So it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. I know that we're not going to solve all of the issues and the injustices in a month or even a week. I know defunding the police is not going to solve all matters, but I know that reallocating those funds towards agencies that can help spark true change and help our communities with mental health crises or anything like that. Like, I know that there are agencies that we need that are not within the police system. You guys, I'm totally speaking like off the top of my head right now, so please forgive me if I just sound like weird and like not put together. Like I said, I literally just picked up a Target drive up and I'm here speaking to you guys. So I was not even prepared to do this, but I do feel like the topic of my son's ADHD is something that people have been asking me very, very heavily. Okay, so before we get into the nitty-gritty of this whole podcast, which is going to be all about ADHD, what it was like for my son, the signs that led us to getting him tested and the diagnosis, his journey, and what it was kind of like as a parent to watch all of this happen and just kind of like deal with it. And yeah, before we get into that, I wanted to share with you guys that I am creating some merchandise right now. I'm creating some tie-dye shirts. They are men's sizing, so I have mediums to extra large. I myself am recommending, like, I would wear them as a baggy fit, and I want them to cover my butt. So I have been wearing them like as a large. But all of them, most of them are saying Bad Moms Club right now, but I am going to create some with some encouraging words, because I know there are a lot of you who are not moms who will want to purchase as well. $10 per shirt, and I'm selling them for $35 each. And remember, they are hand-dyed, made with love. A lot of work goes into these babies. $10 from each shirt is going to go to the Loveland Foundation, which is a foundation created by Rachel Cargill, a Black activist in New York, to make therapy accessible to Black women and Black girls. because if there's anything that I've learned in the season that I'm in with three children is that therapy can save you. And if I can have a hand in the healing of anyone in the Black community, especially women and girls, I am all for it. So let's go ahead and get into the topic, shall we? So ADHD, I've been getting a lot of messages lately from those of you who have maybe kindergarten age children, first grade age children, and you're like, Camilla, what did you look for? What did you see? What kind of behaviors did you see in your son to lead you to getting him diagnosed? So first and foremost, like when Nolan went to kindergarten, we knew he was a little bit hard to reel in when it came to sitting him down to do focused work. So we heard it from his teachers all the time in first, second. Like, it was always like, we have to refocus him pretty often. He doesn't have bad behavior. He'll listen. However, he will forget to take his pencil out, right? Like, his kindergarten teacher was always having to direct him. And I know it was kind of a pain point for her, but she was just like so sweet. And then in first grade, the teacher was like, yeah, he's a little hard to reel in. I have to remind him to like pull out his pencil, to write his name down, to write the date down, to, you know, and he's just having to get refocused. And then in second grade, you know, the teacher was like, we're having a hard time finishing work. He can't seem to finish an assignment that everybody finishes in about 15 to 30 minutes, you know, like he stayed in for recess and that seemed to really affect him. So like we started trying different things. Like we're like, okay, well then discipline him, like, and let's see how that happens. And the discipline wasn't working. And then once we got to grade 3, that's when things started to get accelerated, right? And we always knew to, and I'm telling a very Cliff Notes version of the story because I don't feel like I need to give you all the instances where I was just exhausted as a parent. But I will tell you that it tested me as a parent. It tested Ryan and I's marriage because for a long time we didn't really think, or there was so much stigma around ADHD that we didn't think that it was 100% real at first. We thought it was just our son not following directions. We just kind of thought it was our son being defiant. And that's how we treated it. And we were so incredibly wrong. And it was so incredibly damaging to him as a young kid, growing up super impressionable, that he thought he was doing everything wrong. And there are still moments at this point, and even in sixth grade, where we're like, dude, you got to finish stuff faster. You know, like we have a plan in place now. You can do things for children with special needs called a 504 plan, where you just have various accommodations in class that you set forth with your school administrators and all of the teachers. And you also have an IEP where, you know, where I believe with that one, like you're guaranteed an aid. Correct me if I'm wrong, please. But those were our two choices. And the 504 plan was recommended. So my son is pretty independent, but he does need focusing. So I'm skipping around, so please forgive me. But once we got to third grade and things started getting accelerated, that was when the teacher was like, I think that maybe it would be worth, you know, like, and we've asked the teacher, like, do you think we should get him, get him diagnosed? Like, do you think we should talk to his doctor and things like that? And she said, yes. So we did it in the third grade, but I think that we could probably have done it in the second, because once we got through with the children's medicine at Kaiser and they got us all of the referrals, when we went to the ADHD diagnosis, like it was like a class, and then there was about maybe like 7 children in there. They were like aged 6, and Nolan had already, I think he may have been already 8. So we were, I guess, a little late in the game, you know? So he was diagnosed with ADHD with inattentive, which means he's not hyperactive. He doesn't have any behavioral issues. He is inattentive. But there were so many mixed things that we were being told by the psychologist. And then things that we carried as stigma throughout our lives on what we thought ADHD was, that it was a confusing time for us. We were just kind of like, okay, he's inattentive. Can we change that? You know, and the psychologist was like, you know, he's going to be inattentive. It's kind of age appropriate, but he's also going to be inattentive in things that he just doesn't, he's not interested about. And we're like, okay, well, is that being bad? Like, or is that being defiant? Or is that choosing not to be excited about something? But we had to remember too and put ourselves in his shoes. Like, if you put him down to do something that he is just not interested in, no matter how much you yell at him and try to get him interested in the topic you're talking about, it's just, it's not going to work, and it's going to make you more frustrated. And something else that I carried with me that I just realized too is that when I was in seventh grade, I had this teacher that I looked up to so much. His name was Mr. Mapes, and he was like the youngest teacher at our school. So he was like super cool, right? I know you guys all had that teacher. And I remember, you know, somebody asked about ADD, and he was like, I don't think ADD is real. I think it's fake. I think kids are just overly stimulated at this moment. I don't think it's real. It is not a real thing. And he was just so like up in arms about it. I carried that with me, and I'm 35, guys. Seventh grade was eons ago, right? And I still carry that with me. So I carried that with me as I had children and as ADHD was getting thrown around, you know, maybe he does have it, maybe he doesn't. You know, when he was younger, when we would talk to him sternly, right, about something that he did, and we'd be like, look at me, make eye contact with me, and we're like looking at him in his eyes would shift. Like, it was so, you could tell it was so difficult and straining for him to try to focus on that eye gaze, even though he did. It was almost painful to watch. And so it was a very hard time for Ryan and I. And we definitely didn't see eye to eye in how we were speaking to him. You know, sometimes we weren't speaking to him in like the most conductive way. And we were just kind of like at each other's throats about how we were talking to him and how we were treating him. And then it was just like this guilt loop. I remember one night vividly, the time that we realized, like, shit, this is real. This is really happening with our son. Was he was in first grade, and it was another particular night. Like, I don't understand why teachers like to give packets of schoolwork out for the kids to finish during the week. Like, it's so difficult. After another particularly stressful night of him spending 3 hours on one sheet, when I know in retrospect, like, there's no way you should have your kids sitting at your dinner table doing homework for that long, no matter how much you're trying to force them. At that point, in retrospect, before I get to like what I found in his room, I really wish that I would have implemented modified work then and told the teachers, like, we're not going to sit here for 3 hours, because it was my first kid. I was afraid of speaking up. I thought that this is just what parents do. They facilitate the schoolwork that the teacher sent home. But like, if I was just honest with the teacher and said, look, this is taking us 2 to 3 hours to do one sheet, I have another kid to take care of, I have dinner to put on the table, I'm sure she would have been like, okay, then don't do it, you know? But instead, I wanted to be that perfect parent that got my kid to do his schoolwork, that got my kid the good grades, you know? And it was so damaging to him. And I know that there have been lots of bad words said, not bad words, but like, what is wrong with you? Why are you working so slow? Like, you need to speed it up, and yada, yada, yada. I remember one night in particular, like, just being so exhausted from it and finding him crying in his room. And he was in his bed and he's crying. And I was like, what's happening? What's wrong? And he was like, I don't understand why I'm like this. I don't understand why my brain works like this. Am I dumb? Is there something wrong with me? I don't understand. And it just broke my heart. And we had the talks of just his brain being wired differently. This is how he works and how he operates. And if he needs help, then his parents are going to be there to help him. But I was done. At that moment, I was just like, I can't do this pull him along situation any longer. So once we got the diagnosis in third grade, it was a breath of fresh air. I was very open about it. I spoke about it very candidly. I helped a few moms through their journeys of discovering their children had ADHD and getting their diagnosis. And it was just a breath of fresh air. And then we started thinking about treatment. Okay, so what's it going to take to like help him? I want to help him thrive. I want to see him win. I want him to see that confidence in knowing that he is so freaking brilliant and that all he needs to do is apply it to what he loves and what fills him up. So medication started being thrown in the talks and we were so against it. And again, stigma from my own parents, right? Like my mom's like, do everything medication free. Don't get the epidural. I didn't get any epidurals and blah, 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 blah. And I pushed out 9.5 pound babies, you know, like all of this stigma, right? And I let it cloud my judgment and how I was parenting my children. And you guys, can we stop doing that? We definitely need to stop doing that. So we started to try positive reinforcements, sticker charts, money, toys at Target. And they would work great for a little while, but they were very short term, very, very short term. Stickers don't have their effect. A sticker sheet doesn't have its effect after like 2 weeks of it, right? Especially for a kid with ADHD. And nothing was helping. We were back to square one. We had this diagnosis. We were trying all these things at home. Nothing was working. So finally, we got with this pediatrician in third grade. We tried maybe for about 4 months to do positive reinforcements at home. Schoolwork was still a problem. The teacher said that refocusing was still an issue. You know, to have maybe 30 kids and no teacher's aid, I understand. It was an issue. So we talked to his pediatrician. We talked about Adderall and medications. And so we started him on 5 milligrams of Adderall. And right away, we saw a huge shift in his behavior. We saw a huge shift in the way that he was operating in class. And we saw a huge shift in what his teacher was reporting back. And so from third to probably the first half of fifth grade, he was taking 5 milligrams of Adderall. He does not take it on the weekends or the holidays. And I know this is a very controversial topic because the doctor seems to think that it's kind of like a tro where he just has a fixed amount of Adderall in his system. My husband and I made the decision a while ago that we didn't care whether or not he was on the stimulants during the weekend. However, I will say though, if he is playing a sport, we will have him taken on game days because we noticed that it did help him when he was in football and playing baseball. But we didn't want him taking it on holiday. I didn't need my kid to be on Adderall during holidays. So we made that call and it worked for us. And then towards the end of fifth grade, we noticed that it wasn't affecting him. It wasn't helping him as much as it should have. And so we upped it to 10 milligrams and saw another improvement in his behavior, in his schoolwork. His teacher noticed the difference. And that was really huge. That's huge. If you are... The first place to start, I would say, if you suspect that your child may be suffering from ADHD, is talk to their teachers. They are with their teachers more than they are with us most days before shelter in place and before quarantine. That is an amazing place to start because they get to see them in their natural habitat and they get to see what the pain points are so that they can help you in conjunction with your pediatrician make the right choice for them. So I would definitely start there. Again, if you are with your partner, make sure you are on the same page because sometimes Ryan and I are not on the same page in terms of his Adderall use. We definitely don't want him to be on it long term, but we want him to be able to make that decision for himself and to make it an educated decision. But if my husband had his way, he would probably take him off it now. But for me and for Nolan, like, this is what's best. But talk to their teachers. Talk to their teachers and then talk to their pediatricians and ask for a referral to child psychology and then go from there. Get it into a habit of writing down all of the things that have concerned you or are of concerning to you. So Nolan's lack of or very, very difficult or straining of eye contact was a huge one for us. When he talks, he had like a stutter. I already know he knows what he wants to say. And he'll still do it sometimes a little bit. It'll slip out now. He's a preteen now. And I feel like a lot of these things he is growing out of. But he would get super excited. And he would start something. He'll say something like, and then Cameron was like doing this. And Cameron was doing this. And then Cameron started doing this with her. And then Cameron started doing this with her. And then Cameron started. And we're just like, dude, spit it out. So that was another concern. Sometimes when he's sitting down. He will start to fidget with his fingers. He'll start touching all of his fingers. And then I started thinking like, okay, maybe it's like OCD or something like that. But it's not like super extreme where he's having a fit, but I can tell that like there's movement that needs to happen in his body that where he feels restless. So he'll start like touching his fingers, each finger to his thumb. So if you can imagine like you sitting down, opening your hand and then touching your pinky to your thumb, your ring finger, your middle finger, your pointer finger, and just keep doing that. Or sometimes it'll just be pointer finger thumb, and just like over and over, over rapidly. Rocking in his chair. Like he'll put his knees up and he's like rocking, right? And he's like thinking about something and he's rocking. And so these are all things that I would write down and I would talk to the doctor about. And I'd just be like, dude, like homework is a drag, like trying to refocus him. Nolan, write your name. Nolan, write the date. Nolan, did you finish number one? Okay. I'm going to set a timer now. I'm going to give you 10 minutes to do two questions, you know, and it's another job in itself. And so write down the things that concern you, talk to your child's teacher and work with them with the pediatrician. Say, this is what I'm seeing at home. And this is what his educator's seeing at school. What are your thoughts? Can you refer me out to a specialist? And then go to the specialist and ask questions. Of course, I always listen to their advice. I always listen to their generalizations because obviously they're not seeing you for that long of a time. And they're not talking to your child for that long of a time to really encompass the whole big picture. So make sure you are advocating for your child, right? If Adderall isn't working, I wouldn't be afraid to talk to my doctor in a heartbeat. Okay, well, what else can we do? Are there other medications? What are your other kids experiencing on this medication? In the beginning too, I also want to add that once they do start taking medication, you are going to do vital checkups probably once every 3 months. They want your child in, if you do get a diagnosis and get put on medication, they want your child in to check blood pressure, height, and weight. Because there are studies that suggest that because these medications decrease appetite, that their growth can stall. So that we have been watching that, but Nolan is still growing at a great rate. We do notice too that when he does go to school and he does get back on medication, he'll lose maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pounds. But it's normal considering Adderall does suppress your appetite. So that's another thing to look out for. Now Nolan is going to seventh grade. Grades are average, but we do see what he is gifted at. And he's really good at math and science, which is crazy. Language arts and social studies, not so much, but I mean, who does love language arts and social studies? PE, he was great, very athletic, like takes pride in running and doing well there. And he started playing the trombone this year, and I'm super freaking proud of him because we're not big people by nature. My husband and I are like 5'4", 5'5". And so for him to grab a huge wind instrument like that and hear him play it is just so funny to see. But I'm so proud of him for rocking sixth grade and rocking it even up until shelter in place and towards the end. Homeboy got a cell phone this year, so he's doing big things and he's growing his first few zits, which he's pretty worried about, but I'm just so damn proud of him. So if you guys have a younger child, have a child who you think is suffering in silence from a mental condition like ADHD, first and foremost, know that it's not anything that you did wrong. It's not anything that your child is doing wrong. It's that maybe we need to put them in a different environment to help them thrive. If medication is that, then go for it. Then try it. If a behavior chart is that, go for it. Try it. If you have the means of seeing a specialist that can help them with coping mechanisms and ways to refocus themselves, go ahead, try it. If you think that you're going to benefit from cutting out all gluten and red dyes and artificial dyes from their diet, then go for it. These are definitely all things that I have thought I wanted to try. But we're in a good groove right now. We're in a good groove with medication. But the bottom line is that you did not do anything wrong. There is nothing wrong with your beautiful child. We just need to see it in a different way. We need to open our mind to different ways of seeing them grow and thrive and becoming their own and using the gifts that our God gave them and spreading them and sharing them with the world. That's all I got for you guys. I love you guys. If there are any questions, find me on Instagram at camilla.dd.hunt. Or at Facebook at camilla.dd.hunt. Love you guys. Bye.